We'll go ahead and turn over to Lynn Nisby, Chairman of the Mineral Leasing Task Force for Northeast Fort Worth Task Force, and we'll start discussing that issue.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you tonight. We welcome you tonight to the Northeast Fort Worth Mineral Lease Task Force Committee Group, which all of you are members of. I'd like at this time to introduce the task force. Will all the task force members please stand up? Will you stand up again, and I'm going to ask you to tell who you are and what property you represent.
I'm Tyler Thorne. I'm in Santa Regis.
I'm Kenny Newell. I work with Sandra Lane in the Cobblestone area, and she's had to move for a job the last week or so, so I took over the rest of her activities too, so I work with Cobblestone.
Yeah, I'm Tim Hess with the Sandyburg Neighborhood Association, representing them on the task force.
My wife is Sally Ned, but she's outside her head for someone to get in. At this time, I will I always like to, at one of these meetings, is welcome your neighbor. So if you will, turn to your left and right, introduce yourself to the person on your left, person on your right, behind you.
Again, I got involved in gas drilling chairman of the Greater Meadowbrook Mineral Leasing Task Force. And I have to say, without Mr. Barber's help, we would have been lost a long time ago. So, and in a lot of ways, you know, his legal assistance was irreplaceable. And so I'm glad that you folks are working with and through him. And he'll help you in ways that you won't believe. As a matter of fact, a lot of times he scared me. So, you know, just work with him. You'll be all right. It was a learning process for our neighborhood, as it is going to be for you and for this task force. And you're to be commended for creating the task force and then working with and through the task force and trying not only to get the best financial package that you can possibly get, but also as we're learning, as we move along with this Barnett Shale, you also need some protections for your neighborhoods and for your property as well, because it isn't all about just drilling for 30 days and the rig is gone and everything is rosy and nice and wonderful. There are many, many, many downsides to gas drilling in an urban area, and we are just now beginning to deal with some of those, and that's what my other meeting is about tonight. What Sally and Glenn asked me to come and talk about tonight is some areas that people have concern about. One of the most unanswered questions is about subordination agreements or subordination clauses within your title policy. With the Greater Meadowbrook lease, we simply said that there will be no subordination agreement required under the covenants of the lease unless the well bore came within 330 feet of an individual property. I am now recommending that leases just exclude them entirely. In my opinion, and this is my opinion only, John might have something else to say about it, but any requirement in your mortgage is just that. It's between you and your mortgage company, and the gas company or the gas driller shouldn't have any say-so in that whatsoever. So whatever lease that you come up with, you just simply exclude any subordination agreement within the covenants of that lease, and then each individual property owner is left to deal with that with their own mortgage company. Quite frankly, personally, I simply chose to ignore it, and my mortgage company has as well. Now, if you default on your mortgage, they may get a little more interested in some sort of subordination agreement. But right now, what the gas companies are doing to try to protect themselves is they are just scattershooting. And they're saying, okay, we need that agreement from your mortgage company before we will issue you any royalty checks or whatsoever. Without knowing if that agreement is in your mortgage or not, in a lot of cases, without even knowing whether you have a mortgage or not. So they're creating problems where none exist. And so if you sign a lease, whether it is one negotiated through the group or individually, you want to make certain that that is excluded in any lease that you might sign. If you picked up one of the sheets that I brought tonight, hopefully that'll clear some of that up. I took a look at two deeds of trust, and I found in deeds, and John can address this maybe a little bit more, but I found that the Texas Fees single family deed of trust is pretty much a standard document. Both deeds that I looked at, the terminology with regard to subrogation was identically the same. It looks like it was written by a drunk attorney on bad drugs. So, and of course, they're standard Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac documents, and everybody knows now those are wonderfully great organizations that we're having to fill out in the name. Also, a clause in your deed of trust you probably ought to take a look at, and I just printed one of them, and it has to do with hazardous substances. I would think that this would probably be more important to some property owners than any subordination agreement. Because basically within this standard document, it states that you can't do anything with your property that might reduce its value. Now what they're gonna do about it, I don't know, but there are happenings in West Meadowbrook right now that are definitely going to reduce the property value, and that's their suggesting, they haven't done it yet, they're suggesting that we put pipelines, high-pressure, unauthorized gas through people's front yards instead of along our state highways. And the reason they don't want to put it along the highways is because TxDOT has ruled, Texas Department of Transportation, has ruled that it's too dangerous to put along the highway, that it's okay in people's front yards. You might want to watch for that one. That's probably the most negative thing that's coming into our neighborhoods, because all of these drilling companies that are competing for both your mineral rights and mine are all wanting to put in their own pipelines because they don't want to share any. And somehow or another, we're going to have to force our city to come up with a comprehensive plan for high-pressure gas pipelines, much the same as we have for our streets and arterials within our city. We have a comprehensive plan and a long-term plan about where our streets need to be and how wide they need to be and where they're going. We have no such plan for gas pipelines, and we need one right now. So that said, I will answer any questions you have about the lease that we negotiated for the greater Meadowbrook area, and any questions you might have about subrogation or anything else. Otherwise, my voice is about to go, so I should as well.
Any questions?
Yes, sir.
In the event that we sign a lease and if we were to sell the property, do we retain the lease rights or the mineral rights?
If you want to. There are many people who don't own their mineral rights because they were reserved some years ago.
Yeah.
In the case of Ryanwood, half of them were reserved by the previous landowner. And so Ryanwood is a mixture of people that don't have their mineral rights and people that only have half of the 100%. So, but yeah, you can retain them or you can sell them.
Well, then any royalties that continue to be paid to you then, even having sold the property?
Yes. Now, some of these legal questions say for John, but the way I understand it, yes. Yes, sir.
How many acres did y'all have and what did y'all get?
We, how long ago was it, John? 6 months, 8 months ago, 6 months?
Nearly
7 months ago. We got $25,000 an acre and 26.5% royalty. We negotiated for no drill sites within the confines of the greater Meadowbrook area, no pipelines, and let's see what else. I think it was a 5-year primary term. With a guarantee of 3 wells within that 5-year primary term. Does that answer your question? Okay. This will be a long one. Any other questions? Thank you very much. I appreciate your time, and I'm sorry my throat's giving out. Thank you.
Tells you how safe the oil and gas industry really is.
But yet, when they come out with the eminent domain and say we're going to put a 26-inch gas pipeline across your front yard, and they tell you it's safe, what are you going to believe? You're going to believe these statistics? Or are you going to believe the people who put the pipeline in? How much value you put on your life and your life and your family? You can't put a price on it, can you? You need to think about this whenever they come out and tell you, well, if you don't sign this lease for $12,000, you're not going to get another opportunity. That's probably my personal feeling. That'd probably be the best news that I ever heard. But it ain't going to happen. They're going to come out and they're going to intimidate each and every one of you to try to browbeat you into signing a gas lease. Because the gas companies want 100% of the property out here. Because there's millions and millions and millions of dollars in the ground under your house and under your property. And they think they can get it for virtually nothing. So your gas and your property, the gas is more valuable in the ground under your property than it is pumping through the line somewhere. So we'll talk some more on this in just a little while. Eminent domain. There was a piece that came out in the paper today. I don't know how many of you folks have been keeping up with the little lady down on Carter Avenue, but there were five more of her neighbors today that they served papers on for eminent domain. And they didn't give them but $5,000 to run this gas line across their property. How many of you folks in here have gas cooking? Did you know there's 4 to 6 pounds of pressure going to your cook stove? And these pipelines they're putting under almost front porches out here have anywhere between 1,000 and 1,500 pounds of pressure. And oh, by the way, it's odorless gas. So basically you're sitting on a bomb. Don't be so short when it comes to signing a lease. John will hit on this too, but be sure we need your support in this gas group. Because the tax force can't do it by themselves. It takes each and every one of us in here, each and every property owner, to make this work. And together we can succeed. We've got to succeed. For your children and my children and our grandchildren on down the line. So don't be whipped up in this Chesapeake, Dale, XTO, Landman's web when they come out or send you registered letters telling you this is the last time they're going to send you a letter. If you don't sign this lease, you're going to miss out. Don't be wrapped up into that. Stay on your ground and stay with us. Now I'm going to turn the meeting over to John. John, if you'll come on up and give us your view on this.
John is kind of under the weather a little bit. He's got, sinus problems, and it's getting fall of the year, so you'll have to bear with him, and we'll make it through this.
Let me just add a little bit to that. My name's John Borer. I'm an attorney. I've been practicing law in Tarrant County for about 30 years.
that just means I'm dangerous to everyone whenever someone calls upon me to give them an opinion about legal matters. And I say that jokingly. I would like to think that I know a little bit about what I'm doing and where I'm going. A little bit about my background. My first job out of law school was with Moncrief Oil Company of the Moncrief Oil Fortune fame. I spent 3 years working for that organization before going into private practice, at which time I held myself out dealing with gas lawyer until the oil and gas business literally went away in about 86 or 87. Since that time, I merged my practice with Murphy, Moore, and Bell Lane. Some of y'all may be familiar with that downtown law firm that's no longer in existence. It's been disbanded. We bought a title company, and I began doing real estate law, and I've been doing real estate law ever since until the oil and gas business started to heat up again. So now I'm back in the throes of trying to fight for you people who are trying to successfully negotiate good leasing terms with the oil and gas companies. And so that's what I'm here to talk with you a little bit about tonight. And let me just start by saying, if you have any questions at any time, raise your hand. Let me also apologize in advance by saying, I'm not feeling well. I've got flu symptoms or something, and I'm going to try and remember where I am, but if I just kind of phase out and ask someone what I just said, you'll know what it's about, okay? Does anybody have any questions just to start this meeting about this whole new concept of urban drilling? Let me give you a bit of background information on that. Urban drilling is new. It's a totally new concept. People who have lived in Texas all of their life like me think, how can that be? How can anybody, being a citizen of the state of Texas, only recently have encountered this whole new concept where oil and gas companies want to come into our neighborhood, where we live, where we raise our children, where we go to school, where we go to churches, where we commune with other people. But yet the oil companies want to come in and they want to drill. Some of you are aware, particularly those that live in this neighborhood, we set out very early on to do a title search. And it's not comprehensive by any means, because if we set out to do a fully comprehensive title search, it would have taken many, many months and probably 20 or 30 landmen or people experienced in running oil and gas plant. But what we learned very quickly, very early on, was a couple of different things that you need to be made aware of. One, and I'm sure that most of you know, there are already 5 wells in your neighborhood that have been drilled. There are 5 wells in your neighborhood that have already been drilled. Those wells are shut in. They're waiting on a pipeline connection. A pipeline is the apparatus. It's a conduit that's hooked up to the wellhead that transports the natural gas to a central gathering system. And from there, it may go to a regional gathering system. And let me touch on that for a minute. Are y'all aware of what a regional gathering system is? How many of you know where East Lancaster, where it becomes division just east of Lancaster and 820 over here, you know where the hydroelectric plant is? How many of you people have watched in amazement as you've driven by there and you see this spaghetti amalgamation of pipelines? That's a regional gathering system, and I'm given to understand, though I'm not privy to that information, that there are 3 or 4 different oil and gas companies. Mr. McBee was kind enough to touch upon the issue that we encountered when we negotiated the Meadowbrook lease. We thought we were dealing with the likes of XTO, who's one successful oil and gas operator. But we learned very quickly, after we had signed that lease, we thought that we had successfully obligated XTO to drill on certain locations because we were most interested in preserving the quality and the character of our neighborhoods, our way of life, and protecting the health and welfare and the safety of our children, our children's children, and so on down the line, because these wells are going to last 20, 25, 30 years. But what we learned shortly after we negotiated and executed that lease with XTO, that wasn't our promise. That wasn't what the world was all about. Ladies and gentlemen, leasing is a very important part of what we're doing, what we're talking about. We've got this concerted effort. It's
important because it's going to put money in our bank account. It's going to enable us to do a lot of things we were not heretofore able to do. Some people refer to it as wealth. Is it a lot of money? No, it's not a tremendous amount of money, but it's more than we had before all this became a reality. And we have to deal with the likes of what we come to know and love as the Barnett Shale. But what we learned after negotiating and mandating where XTO could drill their wells outside of our neighborhoods in order to protect the health, safety, and welfare of our constituents, no one thought about, here comes Chesapeake Energy. How many of y'all know where the old twin drive-in is just east of the downtown area? Everybody has seen the wellhead surface equipment that's down there. That's a Chesapeake Energy wellhead site. They need to get their gas from there to a central gathering system. More than likely, it's the same one located over there on Lancaster Avenue. And so how do they get there? Because they need a pipeline. We thought we had successfully negotiated it with XTO Oil Company, who promised they were going to stay out of our neighborhoods. They weren't going to drill. They were going to drill on property outside our neighborhoods, do a horizontal drill, access the mineral estate. By that measure, everyone lived happily ever after. No one ever thought at the time we were negotiating that the real issue was about eminent domain. Does anybody understand what eminent domain is? Or anyone who doesn't understand what eminent domain is about? Eminent domain is the taking of private property for the good of the public. And provided that you meet the definitional requirement of a common carrier and natural gas pipeline transporters do meet the definition, at least to date, of that, they're entitled to see, to take your property. They will come to your door. They will not. They will say, I have a check for $12 right here. I want you to sign right here. And you say, well, what is it? It's a pipeline right away, so we can lay a pipeline down the street in front of your house. That's what happened to Jerry along Scott Avenue. And she said, the heck do you say? I'm not signing your agreement. Stay out of my neighborhood. And they set out to threaten to seize and take her property through this common law document known as eminent domain, which has been codified in the Texas Railroad Commission statute. So, that's kind of background information. This leasing is important because it puts money in the bank account. I'll get to that in more detail in a minute. Make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen. The real war is about eminent domain. If your primary concern is to preserve the character of your neighborhoods, the health, safety, and welfare of your children, your children's children, the people, your friends, the people that you're related to, because all of that is critically important. And there is very little that I can say. Very little that can be done contractually in the form of an oil and gas lease that will successfully prevent eminent domain from taking portions of our neighborhood to accommodate the money.
Now you'll have to speak up.
All the better. We had some handouts for y'all when you came in, and one of those handouts that I want to focus on is a production schedule that I obtained from, how many of y'all are aware of the Powell Barnett Shale website, the information that they have available? It's a information service that's available to oil and gas companies on a subscription basis. I happen to be a subscriber, so I've been privy to that information. They publish information on their website, the most important of which, from your concern, are these reports about the highest value that has been paid in Terrence Mountain counties for execution of oil and gas. Now, this newsletter contains other important information as well, but the purpose of this meeting is that we can stay on schedule. How many of y'all are aware to keep track of the blog that the 4-4-star telegram offers to show what the highest leasing prices are that are being paid in Terrence County? Do
y'all all aware of that?
No.
Well, we all know that just recently, I'm sorry, I can't see without my glasses. This is the most current report that I have, and it speaks to two recent offers as of September the 15th and today's, what, the 18th? So this is current, this is just 3 days ago. I don't think you have this in your handout. The highest lease offers paid in Tarrant County, one was by XTO Energy. They offered $25,000 an acre, 25% lower, for a 3-year primary term and a 2-year extension, $20,000 bonus. In another area of Tarrant County, and this is North Richland Hills and Keller, the current offer, although it hasn't been accepted, to lease 2,400 acres, it is $25,000 for acre bonus consideration, 25% lower for a 3 and 2. Does everybody understand what a 3 and 2 is? Well, leases are kind of like tenant agreements. They're executed for primary terms, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Most oil and gas companies want 3 years within which be obligated to come in to drill a well. Some oil companies want an additional 2 years, so they agree to pay a bonus consideration to extend the primary term from 3 years into the fourth and the fifth year. And some are willing to pay, if it's a $30,000 lease or a 3-year lease, they're willing to pay an additional 20, so that gets you to $50,000 for a 5-year lease. All of y'all know that the best offer today that y'all have received has been from Dale Chesterfield, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I know. Has anybody received an offer from any other oil and gas company other than Dale Chesterfield? Is that offer, I've heard stories that just recently they were offering, they went from 15 and now it's down to 12. Yes, sir.
They had a call with Monday on a message on our answering machine Friday, and I called it back Monday. And we didn't get it on all the particulars, but he offered the description about the public.
Well, they had gone on record, and what I want to do here is to point out to you that what their rights are. And what any other oil and gas company is going to want to do, and Lewis and Dave touched upon it, is to come into your neighborhood and try and lease up 100%. I have been involved now, I think, and I can be, Sally, how long have I been involved? About 3 or 4 weeks now? Is that about right? The very first thing that we did, let me commend Sally Nesbitt for the hard work she put in, and Lynn can testify. She worked much, much harder than I did night and day in running the title through the OPR internet search to try and determine how much acreage we have to lease. The reason that's important is because people at gas companies, when I go talk with them, the first thing out of their mouth is, John, how much acreage do you stand for? How much acreage can your group collectively pull together to make it attractive enough for us to make an offer? You can read some of these other offers. Here's 2,400 acres, and I was kind of surprised to see one here where there's only 350 acres. But I want to focus on one very important aspect. One thing that, and I've got a whole package of these offers. If any of y'all are interested, please let me know. Let Sally know, and I'll be more than pleased to share with you that information. But one thing that's consistent, time and time again, why these people were able to successfully command the terms that they have been fortunate enough to get in the leasing context is for one reason. It's called cohesion. They are able to get together as a group, to hold a group together, to collectively speak for mass quantities of acreage, or acreage amounts sufficient to get the oil company's attention. And that primarily has to do with statewide spacing and proration size units. Does anyone have a, do y'all know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about statewide drilling and production units? When we first started, I'll give you an example. When we first started negotiating over Meadowbrook, here comes the Barnett Shale, and the oil and gas drillers would go to the Railroad Commission to get authority to drill and complete and create 640 acre units plus 10% acreage tolerance. With the additional 10%, they gave them 704 acre units. Within the last 9 months, the Railway Commission has determined that 640 acre units will not sufficiently drain 700 core acre. They've also determined that oil and gas operations from one Barnett Shale well will not sufficiently drain 640 acre. So the Railroad Commission, based upon new geological evidence and information, has now promulgated statewide spacing rules for the Barnett Shale of roughly about 165 to 175 acres, depending upon the geology. Does anybody have any questions about that? That is where the Railroad Commission, who has jurisdiction over oil and gas matters, comes in and they say, based upon geologic and geophysical information that your companies have brought to us, we're going to promulgate field-wide spacing rules for the Barnett Shale in North Texas. We're going to say, authorize the 165 acre drilling unit, provided the geology supports it, will be sufficient to hold all the acreage within that 165 acres. That's what creates a unit. We all know that your county lot size, if you own less than count lots are less than an acre, whether they're a tenth of an acre, a twelfth of an acre, a quarter of an acre. In any event, they're going to be less than a quarter of an acre. But they need, the oil companies, need to put together, if it takes four for 1 acre, and multiply that times 165 and see how many count lots they need in order to successfully go before the Railroad Commission to create their statewide zoning and spacing. I want to talk with you a minute about, I've noticed that some of y'all were present at the last meeting. I was kind of downcast, downtrodden at that meeting because 4 days prior, our Supreme Court, God bless their heart, by Supreme Court, I mean the Supreme Court of the state of Texas, entered a ruling in the infamous Garza Energy Trust versus Mission Resources case. Any of y'all heard of that? If you haven't, you will. And essentially what the, that was an appeal from a decision where a trial court down the Rio Grande Valley, a horizontal drill well, let me back up for a minute. Y'all are familiar with the technology on how to drill a Barnett Shale well. They drill what are known as laterals, okay? They're just like little tentacles. If I had a, is there a chart or a diagram I could use to kind of,
take the grease pencil.
Okay. Okay. In any event, if you can envision, I'm going to draw pictures in the sky. Here's a well over here. And it drills down and then it turns horizontal and accesses the subsurface of that acre property. Technically, they should have 100% of that acreage leased up. Well, guess what? If they don't, they trespass, right? If you take your town lot size lots, you own from the heavens all the way to the center of the earth. If you haven't signed an oil and gas lease and an oil and gas company comes in and does a horizontal drill, they've got a problem. But the Garza decision held that it didn't have to be a well bore. All it had to do was to be a drilling lateral. And the beauty about that opinion before the Supreme Court ruled was that the burden was upon the oil company to establish that their lateral lines did not cross lease lines. And guess what? They couldn't do it. It was impossible for them to determine with any degree of certainty whether or not their drilling laterals would cross lease lines. And so the court ruled and said that's a trespass. And we're going to hold that that causes damages. All of that's been abrogated now. It's gone. It's out the window. The Supreme Court has ruled a week before last on a Thursday night and said no more. Now, the effect of that decision is multifarious. There are several ramifications, but all you need to know is the court relied upon the rule of capture. Does everybody understand what the rule of capture is? The rule of capture is you're entitled to one well per tract, and you're entitled to capture as much hydrocarbons as you possibly can with your one well. even to the detriment of your neighbor. And if your neighbor doesn't like it, he's powerless to do anything about it. Now, there are procedures where you can file with the Rural Commission a petition for drainage, uncompensated drainage. It's important to understand that. If you're a mineral owner and you've executed a lease. In any event, the Supreme Court has ruled that's all out the window. There are ramifications of that opinion that we won't go into tonight, but suffice it to say that it certainly does not help our cause. But one thing is certain. If you're an oil and gas company, what you want to accomplish is you want to try and lease up 100% in a perfect world of all the people who own mineral interest in the neighborhood in which they want to drill. And I think that what we're seeing here recently from Dale Chesapeake and sending out these offer letters that have gone out here in the last week to 10 days, I kind of feel like someone reads my mail every time I send an email to an important person or something. One of these oil and gas company reacts. I'm speaking of Lana. In any event, it happens, and so I get the impression as though sometimes information is being disseminated to Dale Chesapeake, and here they come. Well, here's the problem that Dale Chesapeake poses under the 100% rule. Technically, they want to lease 100% of all you people's property. So I assume that you wouldn't be here if you've already signed the lease. Is there anyone here that's already signed the lease? You have. That's one of the problems because people have already signed leases. Dale Chesapeake, the driller, still needs to put together 100%. Now, that's not a rule. They would like to put together 100%, but I think probably what they're going to do is go ahead and drill, and the burden is going to shift to the mineral owners that if there's any allegation of drainage or subsurface trespass to the extent that cause of action was left intact, then the burden is going to shift to the mineral owner to file suit to do something about it. That's effectively similar to Dale Chesapeake saying, here we come. And that's essentially what they've been saying since the beginning. We're going to offer you $12,000, or we're going to offer you $15,000 if you sign a lease. And if you don't sign a lease, look out, here we come. One well per track, rule of capture. That's all they had to go by. But here's the kicker. This is why it's important and why you need to understand, in my mind, that even if you had not signed the lease, you still have some power in the urban context because the likes of Dale Chesapeake, I think they would like to lease up 100% everybody's acreage. So there's no danger. Any risk has been completely eliminated. They've got 100% leased up, so they don't have to worry about a subsurface trespass. Okay? You also need to know, because this gentleman was kind enough to speak up, when we ran our title search on the property, and let me add that it's not comprehensive, okay? It's just the best we could with what we had to work with. The results of our title search indicated that approximately 80%, like this gentleman, of your neighbors have already leased up. It's not a good thing, it's not a bad thing, it's just a fact that the rest of us have to deal with. Now, technically, Dale Chesapeake, they can say, we're going to drill, we've already got 80% of your acreage leased up, and we're just going to drain it. If you don't like it, do something about it. I still think that there's power. I still think that if you haven't signed the lease, you still have some leverage in negotiating with the oil companies. And I don't know how you communicate to the oil companies to get the price to play to go up. So remember, in my hypothetical here, there are other people around Tarrant County who have been very successful in negotiating very nice lease terms and been able to provide in their lease contracts the type of protections that they would like to get included within their lease contract so that they have adequate protection and their children have adequate protection. But I do think that the oil company, with this recent push, it's their last-ditch effort to try and amalgamate or pull together 100% of your mineral estate to form one lease.
So, having said all that, do y'all have any questions at this point before I move on? Yes, sir.
If you sign the lease and your primary term expires, can you renegotiate?
Absolutely.
How do you know when you're in pool? They don't ever send you a letter, anything?
Never will. You have to look at the terms of your lease. Did they give you a copy?
Yeah.
It was a strict 3-year lease, not a 2-year option?
5-year only. I signed this lease 4 years and 9 months ago, and they've done nothing.
That's good. Welcome to our group.
I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
I can wait 5 more years.
This is what I would encourage you to do. This is your group representative here. Y'all exchange information after the meeting.
Sure.
All he needs is your address and your full name. We can run the time on your track. We can pull out the lease. We can make certain your lease is expired. And we need you. There are safeties in number. The more people we can pull together to fight this battle against Chesapeake, the greater we're going to be able to get back to where we'd like to be, which is what these other groups around Tarrant County have been successful in doing. They, very early on, they install cohesion in their groups, safeties and numbers, and they cultivate a relationship with their neighbors, and they join forces. They don't have any people that, forgive me, for being turncoat and signing with the oil companies. And that's it. I'll get with you here in just 1 second. I apologize for saying that because I understand, and there have been times in my life when I needed money. And by golly, if the wife of Dale Chesapeake had sent me a lease and said, all you have to do is sign in here and call me and I'll come by and I'll give you a chit or a draft for $15,000 and I need money, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to sign the doggone lease because you need money. Sometimes it requires that to feed your family. And I fully understand that. But make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen. Lewis McBee mentioned it. Glenn mentioned it. Your minerals are worth more in place in the ground than they are. If you doubt my word, call me. I can get $75,000 per mineral acre right now. Got multiple contacts, even in your neighborhood. Now, that's not a promise, but I think I can. So why would you want to sign that pathetic Dale Chesapeake lease? This is about the money, ladies and gentlemen. This is about the money. You can see where Dale Chesapeake are paying fair dollars in other areas of Tarrant County where people have been a little more successful in installing this cohesion in their group with their safeties and numbers and having someone speak in their behalf and tell the oil company, you stay out of our neighborhood or you offer us lease terms that we find acceptable. What you're offering us at this $15,000 an acre won't work. Yes, sir?
Sounds like we're going back to the cowboys and Indians to get the land again.
Well, that's essentially what the rule of capture is, and if you're a somewhat of a legal scholar, let me know or let Sally know. I provided her with a copy of the Garza Energy Trust decision, and that's exactly what the Supreme Court justice has said. This is a shoot from the hip, rule of capture. My God, if you don't like what the oil companies are doing, they come into your neighborhood, they got you.
If anyone would like a copy, email me and I can send it to you.
How do you prove how much gas they're pumping off of your land?
You can't. You can't. That's why it's so important that you come to trust in an oil and gas company. Let me give you an example, get to some very specifics here. This is an oil and gas lease that was sent out just recently to a homeowner who is not leased. This was an oil and gas lease that was sent out by Dale Chesapeake. This was an oil and gas lease where they offered, and I think $15,000, is that correct, Sally, or was it 12?
12.
$12,000. This is what I call a mushroom type of lease agreement. Y'all want to know why I call it a mushroom agreement? You know how to take care of a mushroom?
Yeah.
You keep it in the dark, you feed it manure. That's how you take care of a mushroom. And don't get the wrong impression. There's some people who sign this lease. It's not a good thing or a bad thing, but you got to read the fine print and understand what you're giving away. If you need money, that's one thing, but if you think you're going to have the world by the tail by signing a pathetic lease like this, think again. Let me give you one example here. This is a lease that was sent out just recently. This is the royalty clause. The royalty clause essentially offers a 25% royalty, and I'm going to quote, "The royalty shall be 25% of the proceeds realized by lessee from the sale thereof, less a proportionate part of ad valorem taxes and production, severance, or other excise taxes." That's common. Everybody has to pay a proportionate share of ad valorem taxes, okay? Even on production. But this provision goes on. And the cost incurred by lessee. Does everyone understand who the lessee is? That's Dale Chesapeake. Y'all are the lessor. The cost incurred by lessee in delivering, processing, or otherwise marketing such gas or other substances, provided that lessee shall have the continuing right to purchase such production at the prevailing wellhead market price, pay for production of similar quantity in the same field. Y'all understand what that means?
We're paying them
to market their product.
Well, here's what they do. Every oil and gas producer has a subsidiary or affiliate where they sell the gas at the wellhead to their affiliate, okay? And what the affiliate does, I call it the troll under the bridge argument, because let me tell you, it's big bucks, big money if you own a pipeline, because there are trolls. If you want to transport gas along a pipeline, you think the gathering system from there is going to go, who knows where, it might go to upstate New York. Well, it's got to be metered in different places along the way, but every oil and gas lease is entitled to know exactly how much natural gas is being taken from your lease. The way the oil companies do that is by metering the gas, okay? So it can be done. It can be done very precisely. But the problem with this provision in the lease means that the likes of Dale Chesapeake, they can drill a well, they sell the gas to their affiliate, and their affiliate is entitled to deduct at a year royalty how much? That's the question. What does it say? It says we're going to treat you like a mushroom, and we're just going to deduct from your share of royalty what we believe to be fair. And whenever we need money, we're going back to the well. I get angry when I think about these things, because what we're really talking about is just protection, simple protection. You have to say no to urban drilling. By saying no to urban drilling, you get the prices up there. You're able to install the negotiating posture and power that you need in order to successfully negotiate an oil and gas lease. It's critically important that when you do this, you're only going to get one bite at the apple. This was a godsend for a lot of people. It really was. They had this Barnett Shale just happen upon us. And it's kind of a good thing, bad thing, depending upon how you look at it. And I'll lead to another discussion on this topic of eminent domain, because I could go on and on about that. But make no mistake about it, if you sign the Dale Chesapeake lease, you'll get the bonus, whatever that is. But they're going to keep you guessing about what they're doing with your royalty. Your royalty check's going to be $10 here, $12 there. You're going to think, well, I guess that's all I get. And what if you don't like it? You can install protections in your own oil and gas lease, not the oil company's oil and gas lease. And the way that you install protections in your own oil and gas lease is by saying no to urban drilling. You say no to urban drilling, and by so doing, you're telling the oil companies to stay out of your neighborhood, less willing to sign a lease on your terms. And your terms are always going to be, first and foremost, protect the health, safety, and welfare of the people who live within your neighborhood. That is first and foremost. Lewis McGee is excellent in speaking about those quality of life type issues. And secondly, it's about show me the money. If you want to come into my neighborhood, and they've already come in, remember, into your neighborhood, there are five wells, none of which are connected to a pipeline right now in your neighborhood. There's one company that has come through your neighborhood and drilled a pipeline. I don't know what that means. I don't know what the dynamics are at play. One possible interpretation is the company that built the pipeline wants to go to the other five drill crew. Actually, there's only three. And say, you can use my pipeline, but I'm the controller of the bridge. And I want some money. You can use my pipeline to get your natural gas that's shut in right now for lack of the market because you don't have a pipeline connection to get over the central gathering system over the power plant. All that's fine and good, but make no mistake about it, there's just two choices here. We start with $1. And it's a choice between who's going to get the dollar, you or the oil company, or the gas company, depending on how you look at it. Are not you more entitled to the dollar than the gas company? Are they your minerals? Does everyone understand what an oil gas lease is? It's a present, in-place conveyance of the mineral estate in the ground. You sign that oil and gas lease, you convey your minerals, the only obligation on the part of the oil company is to pay you the royalty. That's it. We're going to be running out of time here if I don't move along. Does anyone have any questions at this point? Because I did want to bring up a very important... Yes, ma'am.
This lease that we're looking at here for some who, tell us exactly what is wrong with this type of lease. The one that you, this one, the example that you're going over.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us the specifics of what's wrong with this one.
Well, with all due respect, it would take too long.
Well, I just mean the major points of what's wrong with this one.
Let me give you an example. I live in Meadowbrook. Anyone know where Meadowbrook is? That's where I met Lewis McBee. Okay? We served on the board over there to negotiate an oil and gas lease. We successfully, thought we successfully negotiated the terms of the lease with XTO. I would not sign the lease because it all boiled down to one very simple question. As between me and the oil company, it was a question of who was more entitled to the money because they're my money. Who between me and the oil company is more entitled to the money? John Barber said, show me the money. I would not sign the lease because the terms that we've already offered were not acceptable to me. I'm in the same boat that you're in. I'm an unleased mineral owner of Meadowbrook. They took away my power with the ruling in the Garza Energy Trust decision because now I can't send for trespass because we were fortunate enough to mandate where they could drill. Three locations. I know when I see a rig on location whose it is and they're going to be accessing my mineral estate. That creates a trespass. Burden of ship to death to establish a proof that their laterals did not trespass. I wouldn't sign the lease, okay? I would not sign the lease. It's only because I want y'all to understand that they're your minerals. And the oil companies, they're so adept at leading you, convincing you to believe, you don't give me those minerals, you're not going to get anything. You sign here, and I'll give you $15,000, and I'll keep you guessing with what I'm doing with the rest of your money. Y'all see anything wrong with that picture?
Yeah.
I do. That's why I wouldn't sign a lease. Now, I'm not encouraging you to sign a lease, not to sign a lease. I'm encouraging you to make certain that once you do agree to sign a lease, that you're going to sign that lease on terms that are satisfactory to you. If, as long as I'm involved, and I'm speaking to your question directly, ma'am, we're not going to talk about the Dale Chesapeake lease. I have my own lease form that I have spent months drafting and preparing. Will it work in your situation exactly? No, probably not. It would require some modification. But it's pretty doggone close. And it builds in all the necessary protections in my mind that I, John Barber, would want. And please, don't forget, I'm in the same boat that you're in. So I have the same interests at stake in protecting it. Although I don't live in your neighborhood, I do have the same interests at stake. Yes, sir, I'm sorry. I wanted to get back to you with your question.
Is there no way that you could talk with them and say, okay, how much value do you think there is underneath this plot of acreage? I mean, they got to know there's, they got to be saying, if they're giving you $12,000 per acre, they got to know an estimate of how much is under there.
Well, that's primarily a function of a couple of different things. Offset wells, geology, and geophysical information. You know what geophysical information is? That's seismic. A lot of oil and gas companies, if they have the wherewithal to get it done, and we agreed to allow them to do that in our neighborhood because they're using more sophisticated modern-day techniques to shoot seismic. They don't do it the old-fashioned way. How many of y'all grew up in the oil patch 20, 30 years ago, and they would put 20 and 25 and 30-pound charges down 500 feet in the ground? You'd hear these charges going off, and you'd go, who's blowing up what? Am I right? Do you remember what it used to be like? Well, they don't do that, and they can't do it in the urban drilling context. So there's a new technology called vibrosis, and they have a great big, huge truck that comes in. These armatures go down and lift the truck up, and the truck shakes. And by shaking, it sends vibrations down into the ground, and they take pictures of those vibrations, and that enables them to detect the presence of fault lines and hopefully more accurately detect the presence of hydrocarbons that are trapped up against these fault lines. Yes, sir.
Would you talk about which companies you're talking with and how you're trying to play one against another for our benefit?
Well, I'm not doing that. There's a couple of different ways that you can approach that. The problem that we have, and I'm glad you brought that up, is when we came in and ran the title in your neighborhood, we found that somewhere, perhaps in excess of 80%, of your neighbors have already leased to Dale Chesapeake. So, in my contact with other oil and gas companies, they want to know how much acreage can you deliver, number one, okay? Number two, they want to find out or they want to know who the other players in the neighborhood are, because they can't come in and drill a well on a one well per track rule. That's generally not what oil and gas companies do. They want a great big block of acreage. If you could command about 5,000 acres and you can hold that group together, you're talking big money. That's what we did in Meadowbrook. We had 4,250 acres. We couldn't speak for all the homeowners over there because some people had signed, but we spoke for about 65% of them. We held that cohesion right to the negotiating table, and we were successfully able to execute a lease on that basis. There's safety and there's power in numbers. I cannot emphasize that enough, but your neighbors, approximately 80% of them have already signed the lease. Does that mean you're going to be out in the dark? No. It just means you have to be patient. You have to hold the course. You have to hold the fort. You have to say no to urban drilling. Why? Because as far as I know, I think Dale Chesapeake, and they're the only player in the neighborhood right now, is going to need or try and get 100% of you people to sign a lease before they actually go to your neighborhood. I can't promise you that. I just believe that on the basis that I talked about, when they drill these lateral lines, they're still concerned about the trespass because the tort, and that's, I didn't say the wrong word, that's a legal wrong, a civil wrong, has been abrogated by Supreme Court ruling, but they're still concerned about it. They want to drill up, they want to try and amass 100% of your acreage. So I encourage you, say no to urban drilling. Give us the power to speak on your behalf. If you don't like the lease that we're able to negotiate on your behalf, all you have to do is say, I ain't fine. You can go sign the Dale Chesapeake lease for 15 or whatever they're offering. That's all we're asking as a group, is for you to be patient, be still, don't fall prey to these Chicken Little, the sky's falling. If you don't sign here and sign there, you're not going to get a penny. because it's going to get pretty hot in the kitchen. And they may even start coming door to door. Why? Because they have leases that are expiring that they've already leased up 4 years ago. Commercial leases all up and down Anderson Lane, Walmart, the liquor store, others. We ran the title on all those properties. They were first because they were the big blocks of acreage. Dale Chesapeake doesn't want that acreage expiring, so they want to grow your neighborhood. They have a huge investment already in your neighborhood that works to your advantage. Say no, they're already drilling. And by that, you're telling the likes of Dale Chesapeake, we want to protect the health, safety, and welfare of our children instead of our neighborhood. And by saying that, the price to play goes up. And we'll get, I'm hoping, more along the lines of successful lease terms that have been negotiated, consummated in other areas of Tarrant County, that have been able to successfully pull large numbers of people together. There was one quite just now. I would encourage you to contact your association representative. As those requests come in, we will run the title, or we will see if the title is run, and a reasonable determination of whether you're on your mental is made. Chances are, if you have not been contacted by Dale Chesapeake in your neighborhood, you're probably not on your mental.
Okay, well, that didn't come true, but I don't know.
What area do you live in, ma'am?
Arbor Park owns their minerals unless you have recently purchased, and whoever you purchased from retained the mineral rights at the time of sale.
And that would be in your deed.
Right, would be in your
deed. Oh, but 12 years, so the house was built.
Your deed, your property deed should tell you.
Is it a safe assumption to assume that Dale Chesapeake probably is not going to mess with you because they already had looked and seen that you don't own the mineral rights?
They would never contact you if you didn't own
the mineral
rights. You didn't own your mineral rights to your property, you'd never hear from Dale or anybody else.
Yeah,
they go to the owner.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're going to contact people who they don't own their mineral rights.
That's right. Question.
How much acreage is represented presently in that map or in the group that's represented in this association?
About 400. Scattered. Checkerboard all across your neighborhoods. And that's why we believe they can't drill. They want to try and lease up 100%. You're the holdouts. You're the cleanup people. That's why they're engaging in a concerted effort here recently. Because they have leases expiring, they're trying to get you to sign a lease so they can drill. Yes, sir.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Don't they have really two issues here? Where are they going to lay the pipeline or where are they going to drill the well?
Well, as long as I'm involved, where they're going to drill the well is critically important.
Right.
There are municipal rules and regulations that prohibit them from drilling within a certain distance. But you want to mandate their drilling operations a little bit farther. And I would cite you to the gentleman who lives down here in this enclaved area right beneath the Trinity River, just on the west side of 820 over there. You all know what I'm talking about over there off Randall Mill. He just recently filed suit because there's the Dale Chesapeake well that was pumping so loud that he couldn't sleep at night. Some of y'all read it at the Star Telegram. What you want to do, and one of the benefits of what we're trying to engage in, is we want to install those protections and mandate where they drill in advance. We don't want to wait. We don't want to wake up one day or not be able to sleep and say, we got to sue them because I can't sleep. This is my home. Yes, sir.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I don't want them going over there and digging up the road to lay a pipeline too and making it inconvenient for us because they've got a well, they're not going to truck it out, so they'll have to pipe it out somewhere.
Well,
and that was the issue that lady ran into in Fort Worth.
Yes.
I don't want a pipeline in my yard.
I don't know what to tell you other than to respond to your question in this manner. They're coming, folks. They are coming. There's not a thing you can do about it. I can do about it. Any other lawyer anywhere on planet Earth can do about it. All you can try and do is install as much protections contractually as you can to mandate acceptable conduct along the way. One of which is to mandate that they put their drill site outside your neighborhood within a certain distance to where the likelihood that you're going to suffer noise and require some type of procedure for noise abatement will be minimum. Yes, sir.
Is there a way to keep where they can't drill certain hours? They can't do anything.
Well, contractually, you can do anything that they're willing to agree to. But if you own a gas company, you have to understand how long it takes to drill a well. Generally, it only takes about 3 weeks to drill one line. They generally will circle back, go drill in another area, they come back to that same location, and maybe drill a lateral line. There's sometimes lateral lines that drill from another location. It's the Railroad Commission. I was fortunate enough to, I'll get with you in 1 minute. I was fortunate enough to have gone to a luncheon meeting this past week where we had the new commissioner of the Railroad Commission speak, talk about that issue. There's going to be a new interactive map on the Railroad Commission, Texas Railroad Commission website. It will be available for all of you to view. You'll be able to see where these pipelines are. You'll be able to just wave your cursor over those lines and see what restrictions, if any, have been imposed on the pumping of natural gas in that general area or vicinity. Yes, ma'am.
Doesn't this bail release protect the people that they're bringing releases to as far as pipelines and drilling and price production costs?
No.
The noise?
Did everyone hear Sally's question?
No.
Does the bail release that they're presenting to the neighborhoods protect the homeowners?
And the answer to that question is clearly no. That's, in my mind, I see that as my function as your attorney. If we don't put the demand, the protections in the lease agreement, they're not going to be there. Dale Chesapeake is going to be left to do what they want to do when they want to do it, with the only prohibition being in this forum, the Railroad Commission rules and regulations. Wild West, folks, shoot from the hip. Is that the way we want it? I don't think so. Let's mandate what they can do, when they can do it in advance, so we know and we're not surprised by not being able to sleep one night. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, come time for the lease review. How do you propose to handle that? Do you want everyone to show up and you pass the lease out and we all discuss it, or are you going to send it to our individual homes via mail so we can read it, and then if we have questions or you have some type of way for us to contact you,
Logistics have essentially all taken place. I don't know what to tell you. I have a lease form, but we are negotiating with the oil and gas companies trying to get successful lease terms. That's step one. Mm-hmm. Once they agree to successful lease terms, then they'll have to agree to the lease terms itself. That's when I will provide a copy of my lease.
Okay.
Once they agree to the lease terms, then it will be disseminated and made available to all of you to sign. There will be an endorsement by your homeowners association saying that this is the lease that we recommend. It's the best we can do at that point in time. At that point, you're free to go to your own lawyer, free to go to your own oil and gas specialist. And ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, please remember, there's no obligation. If you don't like the lease or the terms, you don't have to sign it. Yes, sir.
How much have they offered to you?
By they, who do you mean?
No, I mean, as the representative of our group, what is the offer they've made to you?
It's still at 15.
Okay.
And go jump in the lake. And they followed that protestation with a diminished offer. It went from 15 to 12. Some of you received that offer. Say no to urban drilling. It's going to get hot in the kitchen. Can you withstand the heat? Remember, ladies and gentlemen, you have a choice. It's either going to be the oil company that's going to get the money, or you're going to get the money, or there's going to be a balancing of the equities that's fair and reasonable where you get a good chunk of money. They're your money. Any oil company is going to get some money, but it's going to be fair and equitable and not one-sided like this motion agreement that Dale Chesapeake is sending out. This lady's been holding her hand up for a long time. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
what are you hearing as what's being the resistance that people are expressing in not combining forces and coming together? If you only have 400 acres right now,
yes,
and you really need in excess of 4,000 to present a good case. Are they already leased, or is the community just not interested in?
They were leased as far back, until my mind's from that question, most of the acres that we recently lost out of our 1,194 acres in John T. White neighborhood was leased back in 2003, 2004. At the time the leases were about to expire, the wells were drilled, they're shut in, as Mr. Barber said, but the people that had previously signed leases are in those pooled units. So even though they're not receiving any royalties on the shut-in wells, they're still stuck in the pool.
So once their leases expire, once they're released from that?
They won't be released.
Unless they're held by production.
Unless you have leases that's held by production, which means a producing well or a shut-in well, then once your lease is up, you can renew your lease. But if you're on a lease that's already been pooled and the well is pumping, or it's a shut-in well and you've been assigned to that well, then there's nothing you can do about it.
How do you know if you're in a pool?
I would encourage you to send an email or contact your neighborhood representative, and we can find out. We can find out very quickly. That's one of the first things we did, was identifying exactly where these wells are, what acreage is included within that pool unit. It's not about hand grenades. We know exactly. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Can you give us some information about
closed area
pooling?
I'm sorry?
The closed area pooling, forced pooling?
Yes. That's always a danger. Did everyone understand this lady's question? There is a procedure under the Mineral Interest Pooling Act. If any out here are interested, I brought copies of you. Natural Resource Code that entitles an oil and gas company to pool combined acreage, meaning unleased acreage, in order to form a pool or a unit. If they do that, that's a good thing, because they have to establish, because what it would entitle you to is the highest price paid, same lease terms, the highest lease terms that were offered to anybody else that is going to be included within that pool or unit. So that's a good thing, in my mind. So they had two choices. They can either not include your acreage within a pool or unit, and they're not going to come into your neighborhoods. You're not going to drill count lots. You're not going to do it unless they have, in my mind, and I don't know what the magic number is, but a large percentage of all of your town lots leased up before they come in and try and combine your acres to form a production unit. Is there any questions about that? The Mineral Interest Pooling Act is a procedure that's available to force pool people, but it's primarily intended, please understand, if you execute an oil and gas lease with a 25% royalty, the oil and gas company owns 75% of the minerals, you own 25%, although that's technically, legally, not how it works. If they own 100%, their only obligation to pay you 25% royalty, okay? If you look at it in that fashion, once an oil and gas lease is executed, that is what is pooled or combined in order to form a production unit. That's what's required. So occasionally you have unleased mineral owners that do not own an interest, okay? And that is a problem, that do not own, that do not, whose mineral interest is not encumbered by an oil and gas lease. So it's the oil and gas lease that is pooled, not the minerals. So can you pool an unleased mineral owner? And the answer to that question is yes, but the Railroad Commission doesn't like to hear that. And if they do hear that, then they're going to point to the highest price paid in the neighborhood, and those are going to be the terms that I would argue in your behalf, in your favor, if that makes sense.
John?
Yes?
And kind of the advantage of that, because of all the commercial area that we have, the commercial property probably got paid a higher dollar than what we're being offered, most likely, you know, with the larger tracts. So in a sense, forced pooling with that rule can actually benefit us for more money if the commercial land got a lot more on a per acre basis. And then the other thing is, you know, you said it looks like 80% is leased, but advantage is there's some areas the percentage is larger. Like Cobblestone, about 2/3 is unleased. My neighborhood is about 50%, so it depends on where I'm at in the area. Some areas have a larger percentage unleased, some have a less. The ones that have the larger percentage unleased kind of have more ability to hold off them pulling that 165-acre unit as opposed to an area that has, say, only 5% unleased. It depends on how the companies divide up all the property.
Well, we can't answer any of those questions. Dale Chesapeake came in your neighborhood beginning 4 years ago, and they leased up a bunch of people. I don't want to say they leased them up for peanuts, but they paid them certainly less than market value. They will ultimately try, and when they do get around to drilling, and I think they're going to try and get 100% leased up, or make a good faith effort trying to get them leased up, hence these concerted efforts to send out these recent offers to you. What are they intending to communicate? You don't sign this Dale lease, you ain't going to get nothing. So sign it and send it back to us, because they need your acres to create this. If they set out to create a production unit and they have an unleased mineral owner lying within that unit, they can utilize forced pooling procedure. But it's historically, it's just not typically done. So invariably, what happens is here, two very important things. If I'm your lawyer, I'm going to argue that their laterals transgress your mineral estate. And because their laterals transgress your mineral estate, you're entitled to recover the oil and gas company. It would entitle you to 100%, not 25%, 100% attributable to whatever your acreage interest is. Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Oil and gas company, 1 acre, 25%, 75%. We're going to argue that we want 100% attributable to that interest. And according to laws of the state of Texas, they're entitled to recover out of production your share of the drilling cost and the production and severance taxes, including the cost to transport the natural gas to market, just as if you're a working interest owner. But guess what? You get 100%. 100% of the royalty stream attributable to your entire, whatever it is that you own. But that's going to be just as if you were a working interest owner in the well. Okay? You're going to have to pay your share of the cost, but you don't have to pay them up front. And here's the beauty in that conclusion. Our court system has stated it doesn't work by way of reimbursement, because if they drill a dry hole, you can't go to the unleased mineral owner and say, we spent $3 million drilling that dry hole. We want a proportionate share of that. The Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that. Appellate court, not Supreme Court. No, you can't do that. Where there's an unleased mineral owner, that's the other reason why I think they want to try and lease up 100%. If they don't, they're going to be compelled to utilize the Mineral Interest Pooling Act, but they're going to risk running afoul. And this is apropos at this point, because I want you to understand, in my mind, one thing that Dale Chesapeake cannot possibly stand at this point is adverse publicity. They can't stand someone calling the Star Telegram, Mike Lee, or some other oil writer, and saying, we were taken advantage of by Dale Chesapeake. All of y'all have been around Fort Worth enough to have seen the signs out there in Interstate 30 and Tommy Lee Jones. And Tommy Lee Jones had to threaten to sue him in order, he demanded that they terminate using his name once he found out what was really going on. But Chesapeake isn't the good slap you on the back, pat you, just jump on board with us. It's really about the doggone money, and they want your money. Don't give it to them. Do not give it to them. It's your money. Put it in your pocket. Not only in your pocket, but for the benefit of your children, your children's children. It's yours. Take advantage of this opportunity. It's only going to roll around once in a lifetime. Maybe less. So, I rest my case. I get angry every time I think about it. They're your minerals. Chesapeake
whoever the oil and gas company is, the drill producer, should adequately compensate you because they're your minerals. They don't belong to the oil company. I would like to address this. This was in your handout. Were there any questions real quick? Because we're running out of time.
30 red 10.
Oh. Everyone have this?
It probably looks like this.
Do you know how many wells there are active in the John P. White neighborhood right now?
Five.
Five? How many miles can they drill laterally from each one of those wells? 5 miles? 10 miles?
Up to nearly 2 miles.
2 miles?
Yes, to the point where they actually have the drilling rig located where they bottom hole.
Right.
But after taking consideration of laterals, laterals don't come about always out of the production standard. Oil companies should know to move to different locations to drill those laterals. And then they plug them, and they pump them, frack them heavily, and they pump the natural gas back through the formation through their production oil, wherever it is, back to their wellhead facility.
So then it's possible that they've already drilled into some of our minerals already.
And you're never going to know it if they did.
Well, I mean,
I would encourage you, if you want to find out where they drill, go to the Powell Barnett Shell. There's a, even if you don't subscribe to that service, they have a wonderful map. There's a rectangular shape, says Power Barnett Shell Map. Click on it. For those of you who are computer literate, like to point click, pull that map up. You can keep point and clicking. Production data comes up, location of pipelines, laterals, everything you want to know. It's similar to what the Railroad Commission is going to have within the next year to a year and a half that they have promised, but the Railroad Commission map is going to be much more comprehensive.
Yes, sir. There is a site on Railroad Commission, and you can see every single well is drilled, see every lateral, and their map with the road and stuff is not current. Like we notice, it's not complete, so that part's bad that you can use. Go to Google Earth and look at your place and figure out where the roads are, and go back to that map. You know, that's right now. You can see exactly how close that's coming to your road.
Very useful information. Thank you very much. Everyone on the panel,
and see all of this.
Tom.
Tim?
Kind of into this latest question. I noticed the lease that was distributed tonight has the same clauses as the lease that I was sent to by Dell. But two of the bad things about it, I assume that this lease has the same thing, is there's a clause you give them permission to put a pipeline in your yard, and you give them permission to put a well within 200 feet of your house. Not your parking lane, but your house. At least the lease that I got, they tried to get me signed. Those two clauses were in that lease, and there's no way I'm going to give them permission to do either one.
Y'all understand that what a variance is? Tim brought up a very good point. There's municipal, statewide, and statutory law that governs the conduct of oil and gas drilling. But it only governs to the extent that there isn't a written contract or agreement that supersedes that legislation or that statute, that regulation. Does everybody understand that? So if they come knock on your door with a variance and you sign it, there goes state law, there goes all your state implemented protections, and they're constantly changing. And as Lewis pointed out, we're hoping that the city of Fort Worth is going to implement new procedures whereby they don't have to use our neighborhoods to accommodate their natural gas pipelines. They'll be using city streets. They'll be laying their lines along the city streets.
So it's entirely possible that they've already drilled the well down in the river bottom, and we live on the hill, you know, and they're just running laterally underneath our property. It's entirely possible that that's happened already, because I know there's a well down on the river bottom from where I live.
You can see it on that
map. I don't know how to answer that question other than as follows. There is nobody on planet Earth, even the oil companies, that can tell you what's going on subsurface. It cannot be established. They could trespass if they wanted to, but it's been my understanding that most oil and gas companies are on the up and up because if they ever get caught with their hands in the cookie jar, Katie bar the door. Okay? The Railroad Commission will come down on them like a ton of bricks. I would like to think, even though Railroad Commission are elected officials, you know, so I mean, that's always a concern. But we just have to hope and we have to trust. But please understand, harking back to what my earlier comment about eminent domain, because eminent domain is an entirely different question, entirely different issue altogether than leasing. I encourage you to focus on the leasing first, because I don't think eminent domain is going to become an issue or a problem if you adequately protect your rights and you won't get some. Any other questions before I jump on this? Because I did want to address this. Y'all are probably wondering, what in the world is that thing? And why is it here? This is a royalty payment schedule, but I also looked it off the Powell, Barnum Shale website. And it shows cumulative production and what, if you own 1 acre of a mineral acre, what you'd be entitled to receive if you had a 25% royalty. It doesn't take into consideration lease bonus. Okay, this takes into consideration royalty. So if you look at the column, this column all the way over here, the gross revenue, that's before taxes, the net revenue after taxes, that's after deduction for ad valorem, other associated taxes and charges, you would earn $3,860 on a 25% royalty interest if you own 1 eighth of an acre of land. Over the lifetime of the well, and this is average lifetime of the well being 30 years, your royalty interest would be worth $23,309 if you sign a lease. If you don't, and these are very conservative figures, mainly. If you don't sign a lease, remember, you have 100%. So if Dale Chesapeake comes in and they drill a well, you could establish that there's a lateral that penetrates your subsurface strata regardless of Garza Energy Trust. And the threat is an implied trespass for uncompensated drainage. I think they're going to be willing to show you the money. I don't think they can afford, for reasons I've just tried to touch on, the publicity that Dale Chesapeake and the other oil companies, they would prefer that they just come in the middle of the night, drain your mineral estate, and you not even know they're there. That's the way they want it. They don't want adverse publicity. So when Dale Chesapeake came in, beating their war drum and Tommy Lee Jones on every website and all that, a lot of people raised eyebrows about that. But you don't see that anymore. You used to see lots of Dale Chesapeake signs in my neighborhood in Edinburgh. We had four right next to one another, tooting a horn about how wonderful Chesapeake was. They're gone. So I don't think they're into that big publicity campaign because they fully realize now that they better be careful about what they're doing because Fort Worthians are smart. They're trying to hold the drillers' feet to the fire and they're trying to do the right thing for the right reason, not only for their own benefit, but for the benefit of their kids, their grandkids, and preserve the character and the integrity of their neighborhoods. And that's the way it ought to be because it's about one simple question. Who between you and the oil company is more entitled to the protection and more entitled to the money when it's your minerals, not theirs, unless you give it to them. And if you give it to them, you need to be properly compensated. We call it paying the freight. They want to drill your acreage, pay the freight. Pay the market value that's being paid in that area of Tarrant County. That's what this history that we have here, it gives us some kind of idea about what successful lease terms are. Very quickly, I would like to touch on this because y'all can take this with you and you can use this chart to calculate what your royalty interest is going to be worth over the lifetime of the well. It's very beneficial in my mind. Please take into consideration if you have an unleased mineral interest, you're going to get four times this amount. So rather than $4,000 a month during the first year, you get $16,000. You multiply that over the lifetime of the well, calculate what your mineral royalty interest is worth. And also note over here the gross revenue column and the gross revenue with a 25% royalty. Take a look at what the oil companies are making off your 1 acre mineral. Now y'all tell me, does that shock your conscience? Do you guys have any idea how much money they're going to be making off your minerals?
Yeah. You said it's based on what they have.
Has anybody done a contract like that yet and succeeded with them?
Well, a reasonable rate of return for those of you who are business scholars and investors, you know, if we can get 3-1, 4-1, I mean, that's astronomical in comparison to money market account. But these oil companies are making anywhere from, I mean, if you look at the map here, it's like 28-1 and up. It's nearly 50-1 in some instances. It's astronomical, ladies. I ask you, who between you and the oil company is more entitled to the money? They're your minerals. Use this chart. You can do the math for those of you who are math scholars. You can visualize and you can see what's at stake here in this meeting and why it's so important. Why all of these issues are so important. Why it's important to protect your rights and interests and negotiate a successful lease that you're willing to live with. Try and install the protections and keep them out of drilling your neighborhoods and keep them far enough away to where the noise doesn't become a problem. All of these are very, very important issues, and unfortunately, they're coming. We cannot stick our head in the sand and ignore that it's going to go away.
Excuse me.
It's not going to happen.
Can you explain this chart a little better? Because I'm lost. Like the first calendar year, are you saying that the gross revenue is at $4,979,000, and you read that across, what would be the homeowner's share?
$3,860 after payment of ad valorem taxes and charges.
It'd be the last column, ma'am.
Without and this is without deduction.
$3,860,
nearly $4,000.
Okay.
And that is without deduction of any post-production or compression charges, which is what you would agree to if you signed the Dale lease. So that would be diminished tremendously. By how much? I don't know, because the Dale lease, there's no barometer. You don't know. You're left to guess, well, how much are they taking out of my royalty check and for what reason?
So that would be your royalty for the first year?
$3,860.
Right. So, okay,
look at the bottom figure where it says total.
Yes.
It's based on a 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
The total for you, the homeowner, would be $23,309 less the post-production cost and all these other things that John had mentioned.
Okay. I understand.
If you have any questions, I'm going to stick around afterwards, and we're about to run out of time. I'm just getting light for some people. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, ma'am.
What is our next step? What is happening next? For those of us who have signed letters of intent and have posted those to the task force, what happens now?
You wait. You be patient. You say no to urban drilling. The only way you can communicate Dale Chesapeake, and please understand that there were other interested oil and gas companies we'd already be talking to. They don't have to come in and get bid. We would simply what we have to do form a joint venture drilling arrangement. The Dale Chesapeake is already leased up on 80% of the neighborhood.
Are we holding it up for that? That's 20% of all. Have we got them in a spot with the 20% holding out right now?
That can't include your neighborhoods within a pool or a unit, because it looks like a checkerboard, okay? They have a lease here, a lease here, a lease here, a lease here, a lease here. They need 100% pretty close to it. Otherwise, they're running the risk of all those people coming together to sue them for uncompensated drainage.
That's what I had gathered.
What area are you in, sir?
We're in every place. We're like 40 homes that are closed, you know, by our subdivision. But we don't know. I haven't looked at the map. I've seen the ones on Al Randall Mill Road where the wellheads are, and the one up on Prairie Road. But we don't know, us being so close to, you know, to John T. White, is it going to rush through us? Because we don't know where the wellheads are.
I'm showing you. Come up here and I'll show you.
Sure.
We don't know. One thing that you need to be made aware of is, as long as I'm empowered to speak on your behalf, you're not going to see any rigs. There's not going to be any drilling in your neighborhood. They're going to be outside your neighborhood. They're going to come in and access your property from
follow up.
And that's what we want. I mean, if they do, that's the one far away.
Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah. But again, we don't have that information for what's going on, but how they're going to run through our area.
We don't, and that's the whole point of what we're doing, is we get to know in advance if we're able to hold this group together and say no to Chesapeake and compel execution by Chesapeake of lease terms that are satisfactory to you. And please remember that no one's asking you to sign a lease at this point. Just say no to Urban Drilling. Don't sign a Dale Chesapeake lease unless you really need the money. Give us the opportunity to get in and negotiate on your behalf. If you don't like what we've done, you don't have to sign it. But give us a chance. Because they're coming, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't maximize your opportunities and try and take advantage and make as much money and install the protections you deem necessary right now, look at the Dale lease. Look in your neighborhood where they drill the other wells. It's frightening. You don't want your kids playing anywhere in close proximity to a pipeline, I promise you. You don't. No one knows about the carcinogenic effect that natural gas has on human beings. Yes, sir.
You're confusing me a little bit when you say no to Urban Drilling. We're not saying no. We're saying no if we pay a fair price, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, suppose, for example, I'm probably up on John T. White, close proximity of Walmart. And someone wants to buy my property and put in some restaurant. And they come talk to John Walmart, and John Walmart says, I ain't interested in selling. By saying I'm not interested in selling, the price goes up. You say, well, wouldn't you take 20 million? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
By saying no to Urban Drilling, we're not saying, no, we're not willing to sign the lease. We're saying, show us the money. It's just a different way of saying that very same thing. Show us the money, give us the protections that we want, and we'll sign the lease. We'll give you the 100% that you believe you need in order to drill our neighborhood. But remember, Chesapeake, it's our neighborhood, it's not yours.
Thank you very much.
Sure, thank you for coming.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're going to provide a fee where they don't pay from the royalties for all of the sponsors?
Not on my watch. It ain't going to
happen. You shouldn't have to pay something that they own.
Right.
When it comes out of the ground, it belongs to them.
It's not a royalty, it's a